So today is the disappearance day of Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajagacharya Astotara Satasisi Mat Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. And so therefore the lecture will be commemorating his specific contribution in our sampradaya and also our specific relationship with him. Not only how on a day like today we are commemorating, remembering Srila Bhakti Siddhanta because he was a great Vaishnava, but rather how our own spiritual life depends on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and how he is like in other words, he's an essential living element in our sampradaya. I wanted to chant the pranam mantras in just one moment. I have to. It just disappeared off my screen because I disconnected the phone. But okay, it's back. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Te Namine. I offer my respectful obeisances. No, you don't have to say that. I offer my respectful obeisances to His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who is very dear to Lord Krishna, having taken shelter at His lotus feet. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Sri Barsabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Daine Prabhave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Varsabhanavi Devi Daita Das, another name of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who is favored by Srimati Radharani and who is the ocean of transcendental mercy and the deliverer of the signs of Krishna. Maduro Chwala Premadya Sirupanuga Bhaktida Sigora Kanuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namastute. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the personified energy of Sri Chaitanya's mercy, who deliver devotional service which is enriched with conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, coming exactly in the line of revelation of Srila Rupa Goswami. Namaste Gauravani Shimurtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudapasidanta Dantaharine. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the personified teachings of Lord Chaitanya. You are the deliverer of the fallen souls. You do not tolerate any statement which is against the teachings of devotional service enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. Okay, now one sec. Turn this thing off again. So, so we're seeing Srila Bhakti Siddhanta with these four mantras. His life and mission are described. Gaura Karuna Shakti. He is the personification of the mercy energy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So much shakti, so much energy he is displaying in establishing Krishna consciousness with such an focus. there is no, not for a moment, is he sort of found relaxing with his feet on the table, sort of saying, boy, that was a day and a half. Huh? There's nothing like that. Although his life is more than a life and a half, his whole life is just super intense. He's just every moment pushing this movement forward with great force. First of all, he appears as the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And that, of course, in itself is special. And not any son, but a special son who wore the umbilical cord like a Brahmin thread around his neck, who was so learned from day one, who got that title Sarasvati, representing the goddess of learning, and truly so learned that who could possibly argue with him? No one. And exactly that was his mission. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur had picked up the pieces of Gaudiya Vaishnavism in Bengal, where gradually Sahajism had taken over the public appearance of the Vaishnav movement. So many Vaishnavas were simply engaging externally in Vaishnav practices, but meanwhile eating fish or having illicit relationships. In this way, the standard of Vaishnav life had become something that was not very much respected even publicly. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur took up that mission to restore the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and for that purpose published many books, and engaged his son. He engaged his son in publication. If Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would be here today, we would probably look at him like a BBT man, right? You know, as like someone who was an editor, someone who was a publisher, someone who was completely engaged with books. That was actually his principal engagement. Besides giving many lectures as a preacher. In his childhood, it was actually Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur who gave him Harinam initiation. Yeah. So by our, in one sense, he's practically the disciple of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But then the formal Diksha, which according to Vedic culture was the second initiation, that he received from Srila Gaurikiswara Das Babaji. Even at an early age, he was learned and so on. And of course, if I would summarize our acharyas in a few words, then I would look at Jagannath Das Babaji and say Vaishnav Sarvabhoma. He was the most prominent of all the Vaishnavas in the world at his time. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur Satsidananda Namine, the one who was completely absorbed in transcendence. Then Gaurikiswara Das Babaji Saksat Vairagya Murtaye, the personified deity of renunciation. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Viruda Apasiddhanta Dvandaharine, the one who just exposed any false understanding of Krishna consciousness, who was the enemy of any deviation. And then Srila Prabhupada Paschatya Desa Tarine, the one who delivered the Western world from the influence of Maya. So in this way, we see each of these acharyas as an outstanding quality. And Srila Gaurakasaradas Babaji, with that particular quality of Saksat Vairagya Murtiye, being renunciation personified, he once said that he has exceeded me. My disciple has exceeded me. Because when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta sat down to chant the same, the vow of chanting 1 billion names at 300,000 names a day, that takes about 10 years, right? And he took that vow to chant 10 years, 300,000 names a day, which is like, if we would even be able to do it one day, that would already be something extraordinary. But for 10 years, through whatever may come, inconceivable. But he did so, and we hear he sat in his hut in the rainy season and even didn't bother to fix the roof, but took his umbrella and just kept on chanting. The roof was leaking, but chalega, just chanting. So a very transcendental, a very renounced vision. Recognizing the transcendental glory of the Dhamma, being able to visualize the transcendental locations in the Dhamma, next to the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the Yoga Pit, which was established by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there is this Gorakund, that is a place where Nimai supposedly was taking bath and so on regularly. So is Gorakund as part of his, next to his house. When this land was to be purchased, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta instructed the devotees to purchase the land, and they were looking for money and they just didn't have it. So what they did is there was another property somewhere which they had, and then they decided, okay, we'll just swap that property for this one. Good solution, the managers would think. Hey, we closed the whole deal without having any difficulties in getting the finance. So well done. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta didn't think it was well done. He said, what did you do? Why did you dispose of that land? That land is also transcendental. And so many pastimes took place on that land as well. And I had plans for it in the future. So he was also revealing the Dham. He made his headquarters at two kundas, which he said were Radhakund and Shyamakund. We also find this place where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was closely connected with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, not only like in a family relationship, but in a profound spiritual relationship. Wherever he would install deities, he would always add the name Vinod to the deities. He would give them various names and add Vinod. Yeah, he was always remembering Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he was continuing the mission of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he was completely dedicated to it. And of course, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur did some remarkable things. He established the birth site of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after a lot of research and a lot of work and so on. And okay, then he established the yoga pit, and then he wrote a Navadvip Dhammahatmya. And it's a narrative of how Jiva Goswami was taken by Lord Chaitanya on a full parikrama of the holy Dham, Sri Dhammayapur, and then the whole Dham is revealed. Okay, now this comes up a few hundred years after the whole thing happened. Right? Jiva Goswami never spoke about it. Nobody ever spoke about it. The first time we hear about it is through Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I said, like, we never knew that Nityananda took Jiva Goswami personally on a parikrama of Mayapur. Anyway, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote the Navadvip Dhammahatmya. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he started to establish this Navadvip Dhammahatmya on the ground. He just started to establish it on the ground and go to all the places, start a whole parikram and establish each of the places. And by going there, and some of the places, they couldn't be found. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta found them, like Suvarna Bihar, which is like, that's the place where the Ganga was at that time. And there was a ferry, boats were going across to Suvarna Bihar, and once upon a time there was an ancient old king and so many things, and then Budhimanta Khan later was there. Oh, the same king reincarnated. Anyway, he established places like that because it was his mission to establish establish Sri Dhammayapur. So he did it physically on the ground. Another thing he established was the journey of Lord Chaitanya to South India. Now, Chaitanya Charitamrita is not really chronological in this way, but there is another book which is more elaborate. The title has slipped my mind, but I have a note on it somewhere. But there's another book which is more intricately describing the entire parikrama of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to South India. And that book was established by Bhaktisiddhanta as bona fide. Then, subsequently, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta started to establish the whole tour of South India. First of all, he did it in Calcutta on the Maidan, when the Maidan is a big open field in the center of Calcutta, next to the Victoria Memorial and Fort Williams, you know, which was a central piece of the British capital. And the Maidan was reserved there as a very large open field. And right there on the Maidan, he had his exhibition. I mean, that was like, that's like hardcore, very, very prominent place, the most prominent place in all of Calcutta. And what he put there is he put this theistic exhibition. And so he had in the center his theistic exhibition, and then around it he put mundane cultural exhibitions of every state in India. So bridge preaching. I mean, smells like bridge preaching, I reckon. And take a note in case there is some discussion on bridge preaching, bona fide or false, you know. And Frank's like, well, okay. This puts some weight on the scale on one side of the argument. So he brought in these mundane cultural exhibitions to attract many people, but in the core of it, there was, of the exhibition, was the actual transcendental one with the dioramas and with everything. So there was 1 acre of land, and on which he had reserved for one person. 1 acre is a big piece of land. Huh? So on that 1 acre of land, he had a He had a map of India on the ground, and then he had elevation on the map as well. And he had, on that map, he made the entire parikrama of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through South India, the whole tour, all the places there, etc. So everyone could see. So he was basically establishing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? What did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? And of course, that tour is particularly Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching tour through India. And he was traveling through India, preaching in this way, and he is establishing it. Then what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta did later, he went to those places, and at least in some of them, started to install the padas, the footprints of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to even establish it on the ground, and in this way, make it a reality. Right? Because otherwise, it's some sort of ethereal thing. But by putting these padas, he established it. Lokanath later, with Padayatra, established a few more padas. And we should finish it. We should put the padas in every place. The Hare Krishna movement, as its agenda, should not forget to complete all these padas. And my advice is all the bigger yatras should volunteer to establish some of these padas. The UK should just go and reclaim some places and install the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a seva, since you are one of the big leading yatras. It's my request to you. Someone can think about it. Either a private person with a lot of pounds in his pocket, or just some temple leader can keep this in mind. Because, yes, we should reclaim all the places, all of them, the whole parikrama, everything for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this way, spread the glory of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu widely. Srila Prabhupada is the transparent disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And it is interesting because Prabhupada said that how is it that this miracle happened to me? Right? I had many godbrothers. Some were very, very learned. Some were very qualified, very austere, great sannyasis, and so on. Why is it that this miracle happened to me? This whole big movement. How is it? And then Prabhupada answers his own question and says, I can only think of one reason, and that is that I 100% follow the order of my spiritual master. So here we see that relationship of Prabhupada. But we see that if we look in India, and if we look at the time of the Gaudiya Math, then we see that the Gaudiya Math was really establishing the worship of the Panchatattva and of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much in the foreground. And no wonder, because after all, they were Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And Gaudiya Vaishnavas meant Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All of Bengal was in awe of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everybody knew about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even at the time of Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktivinod Thakur, the time of the Bhadralok, the time of the intellectual community of Bengal, who now approach their own tradition through the intellectual ways of the West, university style of approach. And amongst them, so many writers, not followers of Bhaktisiddhanta or Bhaktivinod Thakur, so many writers wrote about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the time. Prominent people in social Bengali life, Shishir Kumar Ghosh, and many others. wrote about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is said when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Chaitanya Charitamrita became so famous in Bengal, that they even had temples where they started puja to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. They installed the book in a temple and started to worship it. And that's also still there. So, in this culture, in this cultural climate, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta started the modern Sankirtan movement. And therefore, it was not surprising how present Lord Chaitanya was in the movement, how much he was in the forefront. Then when Prabhupada came to the West, then we see that he preached about Lord Chaitanya, but Krishna was in the forefront. Krishna was in the forefront. And not surprising, because if you celebrate Gaur Purnima, what will the world say about that? But if you celebrate Krishna Janmashtami, everybody who has some connection with the Indian culture, any little part of the Indian diaspora, is somehow or other ready to do something for Janmashtami. That has to be there. So, in this way, but Prabhupada definitely also gave the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. When asked to translate Chaitanya Bhagavat, Prabhupada said, "I'll think about it." Bhavananda suggested it. And then Prabhupada said, "I'll think about it." And then the next morning Prabhupada said, "No, I will do Chaitanya Charitamrita." And he did. And of course, there is Dimmock, who was an academic scholar, who initially supported Prabhupada, who wrote a nice critique of the Bhagavad Gita when he was approached by the devotees. And then the devotees, they came to Dimmock and to his office. Dimmock had been working on a scholarly edition of the Chaitanya Charitamrita for 20 years, in a Harvard edition. And even before it was published, it was already footnoted in many academic writings, you know, like to be published, from Dimmock's manuscript, to be published, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Dimmock's fame about being the translator of the Chaitanya Charitamrita had already spread, you know, before it was even published. Such was the thing. And then one day, this Hare Krishna devotee walks in his office and says, "Oh, by the way, we have a new publication that recently came out in 17 volumes, produced in 2 months, remember? And, you know, and yes, we just have this new thing and thought maybe you might be interested, the Chaitanya Charitamrita." Dimmock, like, just like, what? You know, and there it was. The whole thing, you know, Bengali, Roman transliteration, word for word, you know, like, and then commentaries from so many acharyas, etc. It's like, indexing and everything was there. It's like, you know, there was only one solution. There was only one thing to do. To go murder on it. I mean, to save his reputation. He had to go murder on it and just, "Oh, this is not like, you know," as academics do. So, in this way, yes, who had done that, you know? So, Prabhupada did it. Completely in line with his spiritual master. We can remember how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, as a preacher, was traveling all over India. And India was bigger in those days than now, because that was before partition. So Bangladesh and Pakistan was still part of India. And Bangladesh, of course, is very important to us because Bangladesh is part of our cultural heritage. When they did the partition, they basically cut the cultural land of Goda in half. Right? And what we got is half a chapati. That's it. You know. And a chapati is supposed to be round, and all we got is half a chapati with West Bengal, and of course, we're lucky. The Holy Dham, Sri Dham Mayapur, is in that chapati, in our half. But still, what about the other half? So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was also active in that, very active in that part. He in Dhaka, he went to Dhaka, and he spoke in Dhaka on Srimad Bhagavatam for 3 months. I said, okay, very nice, yes. For 3 months on the first verse of Bhagavatam. The first verse. And every day, lecturing on the same verse, and every day giving a new lecture. So, I mean, such scholarship, such amazing scholarship. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta went even beyond Bengal, and he went to Assam, which is further east, and he even went beyond that, he went to Cambodia as well, because Cambodia was also part of the Vedic culture, and at the time of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, that connection was still very strong. See, now we're looking at Cambodia maybe as something more belonging to the, more connected to a Chinese, Southeast Asian culture, not India, Cambodia, Vietnam, sort of like, you know, that part of the world. Chinese part of the world, you know, nothing to do with India. That's how modern people look at Cambodia. You know. But no, Cambodia was part of that Vedic culture, and therefore Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would preach there also, although Chinese culture also manifested, but both were there. Anyway, so, but in Assam, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was preaching there, there was a, he was preaching not far from a river, and what happened was there was suddenly an earth tremor, a serious earth tremor, which caused a flash flood of the river, and the whole area just like flooded instantly. This tidal wave comes out of the river and floods everything instantly. But somehow or other, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was in a high place, giving a lecture in a hall. So his lecture didn't flood, it just continued. But then he changed his lecture and he said, the Mahapralaya, the final flood where the whole universe is inundated. He said, what will you do? What will you do when the Mahapralaya comes? You will grab your valuables and get out of there as fast as possible. You grab Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. And there you're walking, right, with these books through the water. But it's not easy. Said at one point, you go, but I can't carry these books anymore. What do you do then? Distribute them. But if there's no one to distribute them to, then what to do? Let go. Now, you're carrying Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. What to do? Okay. What to let go? All right. Let the Bhagavad Gita go. Sure, that's tough. Yes, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, let the Bhagavad Gita go. Then you're walking with Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's still, I mean, quite a load. And at one point, I'm too tired. I can't do this any longer. What do I do? Now what do I have to let go? And most people say, well, probably the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's sort of an additional book. And keep the Bhagavatam, because that's our main book, isn't it? Isn't that the main book of our Sampradaya? Isn't that like the principal proof that all the acharyas quote in their writings and so on? one isn't like, okay, Bhagavad Gita is introductory, we understand why he let it go. Because it doesn't describe the pastimes of Krishna, and the Bhagavatam does. Therefore, Bhagavatam is particularly the book of the Gaudiya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses this principle evidence, Rupa Goswami uses this principle evidence, Jiva Goswami writes his Tattva Sandarbha. It is clearly the central literature of our movement. So I guess if you have to let anything else go, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, no, let the Bhagavatam go. Let it go. And keep the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because from that Chaitanya Charitamrita, everything can be restored. He's saying, everything can be restored. Of course, when Srila Prabhupada was going across the Atlantic on the Jaladuta, what was he reading? Chaitanya Charitamrita. Says, Chaitanya Charitamrita is my only solace, he said. Of course, when he came ashore and wrote Markinya Bhagavad Dharma, then he says, how can I convince these people? They are so fallen and sinful. I see nothing I can say to convince them, but I can only repeat your words. And then he starts Bhagavatam, Srinvata Swakata Krishnam, and Evam Prasana Manaso, and many verses like that he quotes. Oh. Anyway, going back to the earlier part in the lecture, which is what I want to emphasize, is that it is particularly our movement's agenda not just to establish Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but then to establish that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that self-same Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is particularly the Yuga avatar for this age, and that he is the most merciful incarnation, and that without him, we cannot be successful in our Krishna Bhakti. That is ultimately what we have to establish. Therefore, at this point, we should certainly take up that mission to establish Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his life, his pastimes, his teachings, and so on, with urgency. So don't wait too long in reclaiming these places that are relating to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let's not wait too long. Srila Prabhupada, in Mayapur, he took up one mission. He started the Bhaktivedanta Swami Charity Trust. Not in Vrindavan, in Mayapur. And the Bhaktivedanta Swami Charity Trust was there to help local places, local holy places related to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to restore them and so on. He didn't start such a trust in Vrindavan. Let's restore all the holy places of Krishna. No, he did it in Mayapur. Again, to spread the fame and glory of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is a primary mission, and that Sri Bhaktisiddhanta took that mission. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta made his headquarters in Mayapur, that was very important. That was not just, let there be a temple in Mayapur. No. It was a special place. It was Radhakund, Shamakund are there. Right? Then, yes, he established the deities of Gandharvika Giridhari. All right. He's a representative of Srimati Radhika, we heard. Very much so. Living there in that eternal reality. When Kunja Bihari, later Tirtha Maharaj, became his disciple, Kunja Bihari wanted, his special quality was that he wanted Bhaktisiddhanta to preach. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, preach? I am here. I'm in the spiritual world. I'm witnessing the pastimes of the Lord. Is that like preach? And Gaurakasur Das Babaji had said, why go to Calcutta, to such a sinful place? But Kunja Bihari pushed Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. That is to his credit. There's also some discredit as later on as being part of those who split the Gaudiya Mata in pieces, but leaving that now. He brought Srila Bhaktisiddhanta out of Mayapur. And then he came back to Mayapur, and then he established his original place of bhajan as in a more formal way and made a temple of Gandharvika Giridhari there. And then at the four sides of the temple, he put the four Sampradaya Acharyas. He put all of these Acharyas there to show one thing, to establish one thing, that the Sampradaya of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Metta Sampradaya. That term, Metta Sampradaya, you can take note of that. Metta Sampradaya means the one Sampradaya that is like sort of sitting like an umbrella over all these other Sampradayas and that can absorb all the other Sampradayas. Exactly. That was his plan. And he brought scholars from the Madhva line. After all, the Baladev Vijayabhusan established that we are in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, that there's that Madhva connection. And then he brought Madhva scholars and he published Madhvacharya's works, translated in Bengali. So he wanted Madhva's teachings to become known in Bengal as part of his mission, to sort of show the unity of the Gaudiyas and the Madhvas. That was part of his mission. He also brought Ramanuja scholars and also published some of those works, although less than Madhva, but also those. And in this way, there was an agenda, there was a strategy. It wasn't just, oh, well, nice, let's have something else to read, let's translate some more books. Let's have some of Ramanuja's books translated, why not? I kind of like to read them. Nothing like that. A complete strategy to bring all the Sampradayas within the Gaudiya Sampradaya. So, he established that as our mission as well. So here we've already received two instructions of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. One, to reclaim all the places of pilgrimage related to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Two, to bring all the other Sampradayas in under the heading of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Next mission. All right. So in this way, sorry. In this way, we appreciate how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was a very strategic person. And of course, there is endless detail. I could also speak the whole day. I could just go till the evening because there is so much information and so many significant things. But I have to stop somewhere, and still I'm not stopping because I want to do one more thing. Somehow or other, there are these quotes, a little list of quotes from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, statements which are very pointed, and I really like it. So I even put it on my blog, downloadable for people since many years. And I'll just read a couple. There are 64 different instructions. I won't read all 64 because, you know, so I'll jump here and there. Number one, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions in Sikshastakam, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, is the only motto of the Gaudiya Math. It's a preaching movement. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. There's the only motto, nothing else. That's what it's for, right? I mean, okay. It's not a social movement. It's not a movement for where believers can come together in a house of worship and satisfy their religious needs. No, it's not. No, it is Param Vijayate. It's the headquarters of Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. And guess what that statement means for the Bhaktivedanta Menar. Two, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the only enjoyer.
Oh, I thought that I was the enjoyer.
I used to enjoy sense gratification. Oh, yes, I did. But, you know, Om Jnana Timarandasya Ginandana Salakya Sakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama. My spiritual master opened my darkened eyes with transcendental knowledge, and therefore, oh no, I gave up this enjoyment of sense gratification. It's Maya. No, these days, I'm enjoying spiritual life. My spiritual life is a very, very, very nice spiritual life. Even my cats are vegetarian. And the parrot says, Haribo! Haribo! Right? Very nice. Okay. But that's not enough. What else are you doing? What are we doing? If we become a movement that is all inbred, where all the energy is going inwards, where we have namahattas or call them bhakti vrikshas or whatever you want to call them, where we have groups where we come together to nourish ourselves with cake and pizza, then, you know, we'll probably grow fat and lazy and a few other things as well. Spiritual life will become dry and stale, because spiritual life is more than cake and pizza. Not that I'm against cake and pizza. Yeah. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the only enjoyer. Everyone and everything else is the object of enjoyment. Now, isn't that crystal clear, you know? Like, everyone else is the object of enjoyment. So I love these things because it's just like, poof, crystal clear. Just like, there's no arguing. It's like a flash. Each of these things is like a flash of lightning. It's just like, okay, now I'm going to jump a little bit. We are not pious. No. Sinful or learned or ignorant, we are the carriers of the dust of the feet of the Supreme Lord Sri Hari, and we are initiated by the mantra Kirtanya Sadahari. Now put that under your belt, you know. We're not pious, so getting some punya, getting blessings is not our aim. Oh yes, I come to the mandir, even through snow. No, I will come every day because I want blessings. No, that's piety, looking for piety. We are not pious. We're not pious. But we're also not sinful. No, we are not sinful. Where was it? Not? You're here. We are not learned, you know. We're not to be great scholars. We're not studying books for the sake of studying and just learning for the sake of learning. No. But we're also not ignorant. Yes. We are the carriers of the dust of the feet of the Supreme Lord Srihari. And we are initiated by what mantra? You know, anybody, if I would say, ask this question, and by what mantra are we initiated? Everyone would say, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Right? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta just puts the focus, you know, takes the lens, right? You put the lens, right? But he put zoom lens with complete focus, one of these huge monster lenses, you know, and just puts it there. Oh.
Danger.
Yes, danger. I agree. And he says, no, we are initiated by the mantra Kirtaniya Sadhari. I mean, brilliant. Look at this. It's a sutra, you know. A sutra is like a very condensed, so much in these centers, so condensed. All right, a few more sutras. I'm going to do them random now. One, okay, scroll, eyes closed, bang. 19. It's better to remain in millions of species like birds, beasts, insects, and worms than to become deceitful. One who's free from deceit receives auspiciousness. Okay, so here we are. Deceitful devotees, right? Cheating, extra keeping up a show for the world, but not following. Oh, yeah. We had one devotee in the Brahmachari ashram in Vrindavan, and he had a beat bag, but there were no beats inside. One day we found out, it's so, you know, it's just like, what's so flat? Yeah. Yeah. So better remain in millions of species like birds, beasts, insects, and worms rather than become deceitful. I mean, so incredibly strong, so filled with spiritual potencies. Those who mistake dishonesty to be honesty, or a crook to be a saint, will fall into great difficulty, as a person who tries to cheat an iron smith by supplying him bad steel. So he's speaking about the pseudo-devotees. He is constantly absorbed in discussing about Srihari is a saint. One who is constantly engaged in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a saint. One who in all his endeavors tries to serve Krishna is a saint. I mean, I can read these things over and over, you know, and hope that one day I'll memorize them. That would be really something. And that then one day I'll adjust my life to them. That's why I want to. Every year when I get a chance to speak on this day, I always include these things, because it gives a little bit of the very powerful preaching. Then I do number 49, and then I'll do number 64, and then I'll end. Do not give up devotional service, even if there are innumerable dangers, countless insults, and endless harassment. Do not become disheartened that most people in this world do not accept the message of unalloyed devotional service. Never give up your devotional service and hearing and chanting about Krishna, which is your everything. Always chant the holy name, becoming more humble than a blade of grass and more tolerant than a tree. If we become humble, then we can appreciate how we're lacking in quality and how much mercy we need. When we're proud, we think, yeah, I need some mercy. No, definitely, absolutely. I'm sorry to do a British accent there, but I absolutely need some mercy, you know. Otherwise, I mean, it wouldn't be realistic to think that I could, you know, attain success in Bhakti Yoga, because after all, Bhakti Yoga depends on mercy. No. I am a hopeless case, a basket case. I am a loser. I am so weak. So weak. I have no chance. All I can do is beg. I'm a beggar. All I can do is beg for mercy. I am. Otherwise, I will never make it. And in this way, in this way, in humility, in this way. Humility is the impetus to seek the mercy. Never forget the three verses in the Chaitanya Charitamrita from Krishnadas Kaviraj. I am more fallen than a worm in stool. I am so sinful that anyone who comes in touch with me loses all his pious credits. Two verses done. The third verse is, then how amazing it is that one as I has received the mercy of Nityananda. That's it. Three verses come together, not two. Usually they quote two. Mistake. They come. It's a set of three. It comes in a set. You cannot buy one verse. You cannot even buy two verses. You have to buy three. Comes in set. Sorry. Yes? Because the third verse makes all the difference. If I'm the most fallen, and if everyone lower than a worm in stool, and everyone loses his pious credits by seeing me, then I'm going to, you know, look for a bridge to jump off. Right? What else? I become depressed. But when I got the mercy of Mahaprabhu, I can be the most fallen and totally happy at the same time. And yet, always be eager to be uplifted. The final words of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta that I'll share with you today is, if we take shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master, we can become free from illusion, fear and distress. If we wholeheartedly beg for his mercy without any deceit, then the spiritual master bestows all auspiciousness upon us. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada ki jai. I mean, I'll take one question because I don't want to upset the manner schedule.